This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. And if you have the Civic Media app, you can also download the Civic Media app if you don't have it yet. And you can call and text directly to any show that you're listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. Whether you're in Oshkosh, you want to listen to a show in Green Bay, download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. You can find it wherever you get your apps. And a reminder, Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, out on the road with the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour continues today. This is great. They're going to be at the Norske Nook.
I am so mad.
Are you jealous? They're at the Norske Nook in Osseo today. How many pies can Todd consume in one day? Tune in to find out. Todd's also going to be joined by Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, Reed Galen of the Union, and other local guests. So catch Todd's show today from noon to 2 p.m. at the Norske Nook in Osseo. If you're up there, stop by and see him. I know they would love that.
Even if Todd wasn't there, if you're in Osseo, go to Norske's Nook. You're going to have the heaviest pie you've ever going to have in your life. It's so good.
What is the favorite pie? Is there a favorite pie?
The two times I've been there, I had a cherry pie and I had a blueberry pie. Ooh, I kept it real simple.
Cherry is classic.
Yeah, I didn't want to go too over the... But they got a lot of great pies, but I wanted to go simple. And cherry or blueberry, I mean, you're just going to... It gets your mind off the fact there are 6 days until election.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Oh, it will be. Okay.
It will. Coming up after 10:30, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public service announcements. And we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Payless Edition.
No, you're not getting free shoes.
Someone said there are samples. But we'll talk about that around 11:51. Stick around for Tisbet, or This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I'm trying to make it a thing. It's never going to be a thing.
It's never going to be on a t-shirt.
Okay, we were talking a lot yesterday about the election, six days, as Greg just mentioned, and what to do if you still have an absentee ballot. So now they are saying don't put it in the mail.
Yeah.
It's October 30th. The last time to really get it in was yesterday, if you were going to mail it.
Yeah.
Now, according to this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you can bring it to your polling place on election day or your community central count location, put it in a drop box, drop it off at your clerk's office, or bring it to an early voting location. We got an email yesterday on Jane Says.
Yeah.
So if you ever have a guest or a topic or a complaint, send it to Jane Says, JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Got this email from Todd Stiles, and I called him this morning to make sure that he was cool with me, with us talking about this. Todd Stiles emailed us and said, I am a chief election inspector in De Pere. We just had a chief inspector meeting, and we will not accept in-person absentee ballot drop-offs.
Okay.
They must be dropped off at City Hall before 8 p.m., or you can vote in person and then destroy or spoil, it's called spoiling your ballot, in the polling place. So this is De Pere. He said, I just wanted to clarify that I've heard you talking about this, but saying you can drop it off at your polling place. Perhaps some allow that, not all do.
So that's why I think from this point on, we're going to keep talking to you about early voting until it's done. But here's what the best thing you can do is. Go to civicmedia.us/vote. In there, you will find information on how to track your ballot, how to get questions answered, and that will send you to myvote.wi.gov. We've been talking about that one for years now, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a great website, myvote.wi.gov. Find out who your clerk is, call that office, get the information for your municipality, because every city is going to be different from the town versus the...
Exactly.
So don't... What we're telling you now is great, but it might not be what goes on in your municipality. So call your clerk's office to get the word, to get the actual word from your clerk.
How it works in your municipality.
Correct, because that's the best way to make sure your vote is cast and counted.
And you're not going to be a pest.
No.
This is what they do. They are there to help you.
No.
So again, according to Todd Stiles, and thank you so much for this, Todd, I'm a chief election inspector in De Pere. We just had a chief inspector meeting. We will not accept in-person absentee ballot drop-offs. They have to be dropped off at City Hall before 8 p.m. or vote in person and destroy, which is called spoiling your ballot, at the polling place. There may be some areas that allow this, but not all do. So again, as Greg said, call your municipal clerk and find out if you have questions.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for where you live, we want everybody's ballot to count.
Yeah, and we don't want to get anyone bad information, because it's you can vote up until November 3rd in some areas. Some you can't. Your last day to early vote might be Friday or Saturday, but that's why you got to call that clerk's office and they'll take care of you.
And again, go to civicmedia.us/vote. There's all kinds of information there that you can use, and I hope you check that out. Also from Ann Jacobs, who is the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, she said, in Wisconsin, ballots must be received by 8 p.m. election day, not postmarked.
Yeah, which I have a lot of opinions on, but okay.
So if you have an absentee ballot sitting on your kitchen counter, it's a good idea to use a drop box or take it to your clerk's office so you are guaranteed to get it in on time. Again, this is from Ann Jacobs, the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. In Wisconsin, ballots must be received by 8 p.m. election day, not just postmarked.
And if you're hearing us in Dodge County at all, call your clerk's office. You don't have Dropbox availability. Same with New Berlin, same
That's
with
right.
Brookfield. Your Dropboxes have been, I'll say it, stolen from you. Also, Wausau, too. Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
It's,
oh, well that one's back.
That one's back. Yeah. But the point is that not every ability to vote early is available to you. So, like we said, call that clerk's office. Get their info. That's going to be your best bet.
Yes. We want it to be accurate. And as we said, we want everyone's vote to count.
Yes.
We're all American citizens. We're all Americans. We all have the right to vote.
Even a beta male like me wants you to know. I'm a beta male, and I want you to know where you can vote, because I want your vote to count, my friends.
Why is that an insult?
Because guys who are totally insecure about themselves, it's. I'll tell you, a guy in the live stream called me a beta male. I'm fine with that.
Well, but again, why is that considered? Ooh, ow! What?
Because the person who says it is sad and insecure inside. They have to make you feel bad. And because they listen to people like Joe Rogan, DeTrump, Elon, and other people or other podcasts, that's how they think it's the best way to stick it to you.
Well,
also, if you look it up, alpha male, not actually a thing.
Well, and I mean, are alpha males wrestling anacondas? I mean, is that what's the definition of an alpha then?
Well,
it's you're the manliest of manly men. So
no.
What does that all involve?
I don't know. All I know, it never is. It just means that they didn't cry enough and they didn't hug their father. That's what I'm going to think. So I personally, if anyone calls me a beta male, which I was just called, which I think is great, I take it as a badge of honor, because that means that me being myself, who I am, is threatening to those who are just trying so hard to be manly and blah, 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 because they haven't been able to deal with their own crap. And I don't swear on the air often. When they can't deal with their own junk and they have to point fingers at other people and bully them, that says a lot about them. And honestly, I really hope they get help, talk to someone, get it out there in the world, because that's important. Talking to men out there, talking to you men, talk about your feelings. It's okay.
We have a couple.
And your dad doesn't know who you vote for.
That's right. A couple comments on the live stream. I'm a beta. Whoop, whoop. Tony Zimmerman, it's a vibe. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
So are there alpha females and beta females, or is that just a manly man thing?
Yes, I'm sure there is. I can't speak to that because I am not a female, and I won't speak for women because that is not a good idea. But I'm sure there is. And it all goes back to this study that was done about wolves, the alpha male of the wolf pack.
Okay.
the gentleman who wrote the book actually came out later on and said, oh, I was wrong. This doesn't exist. There's no alpha male. Because he studied wolves. And I know this is very weird, but I'm making it connect to disintegrate their ideas.
Okay.
He studied wolves in captivity. Wolves in captivity have a different way of living.
Absolutely.
It's every person for themselves because there's no sense of survival. They're in captivity. Therefore, they're going to live every day, sleep. So, but in the wild, that's not a thing. They travel in packs. They work for each other. They work together. So there's no alpha male, quote unquote, in the wild. So the gentleman who wrote the book about it, the alpha male, alpha dog, came out and said, yeah, I was wrong.
Whoops.
Oopsie doodles. My book is completely wrong. Please don't read that book. It's wrong. Wrong information. Wrong info. Beta boy getting his day.
Which fits in perfectly with the name of this segment, which is to err as human, to offer a correction divine.
Thank you.
Which is what he did.
Oh.
Which is the author of that book did.
Jane, we are heroes.
I would not necessarily say that. Going back to a couple election-related things before we have to go to break, yeah. Matt from Germantown, chief inspector here in Germantown, if turning in an absentee ballot on election day here, bring it to the central count, which is at Village Hall. Mm-hmm. Again, call your local municipal clerk.
Correct.
We don't have time to go through all of the municipalities.
There's 1,800 of them.
Yeah, we'd be here a long time. And also Greg from Waukesha listening on WAUK. I am a beta male. I used to cry watching Full House episodes.
That doesn't make you a beta male. That makes you in touch.
When they couldn't get along. Greg from the Shaw, thank you so very much.
Miss your face, Greg.
For that, Greg. All right. When we return, remembering one of the best comedic actresses, we are going to miss her. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I've got dreams to remember.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Thank you, Nicole from Madison, for his new nickname. We really appreciate that. Dr. Laura Hanks will be here after the 11:30 news. We are going to talk about prostate cancer, and this is something that is very personal for her after a recent loss in her family. So we're going to talk about that. And gentlemen, if you have questions, ladies too, if you have questions, please. This is something that certainly affects a lot of men and just affects a lot of families.
Correct.
Because it's all part of the whole. Send in your questions to Jane Says. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. And we'll see if we can't get your questions in when Dr. Laura Hanks is here. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Payless edition. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Stick around for that. We lost an icon. Terry Garr is gone at the age of 79. She had been fighting multiple sclerosis for many, many years. But she was just iconic in the 70s and the 80s.
Yes.
She was just such a part of so many great films. She was in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I think is one of the first times she landed on my radar. And, of course, the one for which I think she's probably best known, which that was her first film role, was in Young Frankenstein.
Was that her first?
That was her first film role, I believe.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. For me, Terry Garr will always be Mr. Mom. She's the wife.
Oh, she was the wife of Mr. Mom.
Yeah, she played Michael Keaton's wife, who goes back to work and
220, 221, whatever it
whatever
takes.
Whatever it takes. You want a beer? It's 7:30 in the morning. Scotch.
We have a clip of the wonderful, iconic Terry Garr. Calvin, let's play a little clip.
Hello. Would you like to have a roll in the hay?
That's it.
She was so. There are outtakes you can find on YouTube from Young Frankenstein. I highly encourage you to go look those up if you're looking for a laugh.
You have Terry Garr, Cloris Leachman, and Madeline Kahn in one film. I mean, yes, Gene Wilder and Peter Boyle and
Marty
and
Feldman.
Marty Feldman. They're great. They're wonderful. Hilarious.
Yes.
God rest all of them now. Actually,
yes,
they're all gone.
Someone put that on Twitter yesterday. Oh, that my there is. God. There is some great party going on in heaven with that cast reunited.
Oh, my God.
The entire cast of Young Frankenstein.
But those women are so funny. I mean, and Mel Brooks, to his credit, used them in all these other films of his. Just brought the you know, like, I think Tracy Ullman said in an interview with someone like Terry Garr, and that he didn't just think that funny women had to be bumbling or gangly or ugly, quote unquote. They could be sexy and funny. They were smart. He trusted them. And those three women in that film shine.
Yeah, they really do. It's where, hey, Halloween is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Grab Young Frankenstein and do a family watch of Young Frankenstein. Truly a classic and one of my favorite movies of all time.
Would you like an Ovaltine? Sorry, we could just, for the rest of the half hour, we could just quote this film. Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
We could do it. Yeah, we could finish out the show with just doing one-liners from Young Frankenstein. Again, we're remembering Terry Garr, who passed away yesterday at the age of 79. She had a long fight with multiple sclerosis. But I do think that, again, she tends to get overlooked. And I saw someone say yesterday, too, because she was in Tootsie.
Yeah.
With Jessica Lange and Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray.
Yep.
And she probably should have won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for that film. But Jessica Lange was in the same category. And she probably should have been in for Best Leading Actress.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's the thing with Terry Garr is that she really had the, like you said, the 70s and the 80s were her time to shine. And unfortunately, and I don't use this term with any disrespect, but we kind of forgot about her, which sucks.
Well, she got sick.
Well, even still, like, even in the 90s, like, her, like, she wasn't in as many movies, and she hosted Saturday Night Live three times in their first, in quote unquote, their golden years.
Oh,
those
really?
First 5 years. Yeah. I mean, she was just so funny.
Another one I forgot about. She was in the movie Oh God with George Burns.
That's right.
She was John Denver's wife.
John.
Completely forgot about that.
Okay. We're watching some Terry Garr movies tomorrow night. Because she was an absolute
joy.
And she was so funny. And yeah, I'm really, it's a bummer she is gone. And like you said, she was suffering for a long time, but ugh.
What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful actress. Just brought so much joy to all of the roles that she played and a realness to her. There was just a realness to her that I think people could relate to.
Actually, her first movie was not Young Frankenstein.
It wasn't Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Hmm. It was Damsel in Distress in the Monkees movie Head, which is a cult classic that no one in this building but me has heard of. So.
The Monkees?
The Monkees did a movie.
The Monkees band?
Yeah, they did a movie that did not go anywhere. They were like, we can take... Remember how, like, they were put together by Hollywood?
Yes.
And, like, Neil Diamond, Carole King, and Neil Sedaka wrote their songs?
Yes.
Of course they thought one day, you know what? We can do this ourselves. We'll make a record. that nobody bought. We'll make a movie that everyone hated.
Wow, I'm going to have to look that
she
up.
She was in it.
All right. Watch Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And remember Terry Garr with some laughs.
The Conversation. That's
another
right.
good film. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for public service announcement. If you have a question for the doctor, email it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, JaneSays@civicmedia.us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the very same Civic Media Radio Network.
You said he was just a friend, but I saw you kiss him again and again. These eyes of mine, they don't fool me. Why did he hold you so tenderly? I've got dreams to remember. Listen to me, mama.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up around 11:51, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Payless edition. It'll be worth it. Stick around. And a reminder, Dominic Salvia takes to the airwaves from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. He will be joined today by Matt Rothschild, who's host of the new Wisconsin Forward podcast. You should check that out.
Yeah.
He will be the co-host for the evening. And then they're going to talk with an investigative journalist, Greg Pallast, and State Rep Francesca Hong. So that's the Dom Salvia show today from 4 to 6 p.m. across the network. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Excellent. We are going to talk about something that's very personal for you. And I appreciate your willingness to talk about this because you recently had a loss in your family due to prostate cancer, correct?
Yes, that's true. Some people that may have been around a couple of months ago, we had a Dr. Hanks show that was super special for me to do with my dad, who's my hero and I've looked up to my whole life and one of the big reasons I went into medicine. The reason I was with him is because he was struggling with metastatic prostate cancer. And so we were spending a lot of time visiting. And even though he wasn't feeling well, I talked him into coming on the show because I knew it just was really mental.
And he did. And he was great. He was just, yeah. He was so great. It was such a great conversation. If anyone wants to go back and listen to that, you can find it. It's all archived at our website at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and then click on Matt Nair on air and scroll down and you can listen to that conversation. Dr. Hanks is times two. But it was prostate cancer, and this is certainly something. One of my brothers had a scare with prostate cancer. This happens to a lot of men.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because there's really not the guidelines currently say not to screen for it in everybody, and there's just not a good way to screen for it. So in my dad's situation, his brother actually had prostate cancer, and so because of that family history, very close family history, he did ask to have screening. And the screening is a blood test where they do what's called a PSA blood level. And his was extremely elevated. And something to note is most people die with prostate cancer, not of it. And unfortunately, my dad was one of the very few that had a really high grade and an invasive prostate cancer. So, you know, it was a good thing it caught it early. He was diagnosed way back in 2020, but then passed away earlier this month, unfortunately. But, you know, he did find out earlier than some people do. So, you know, reasons to get screened, as I mentioned, it is an individualized. So risk assessment is patients that are older or people that are older, African-American race, and then, as I mentioned, the family history. So if you have any of those, then it's definitely worthwhile talking to your doctor about potential screening for prostate
cancer. So So screening for prostate cancer is not like screening for breast cancer and cervical cancer, which women just do pretty much routinely over the course of their exactly. lives. I may be way off base here, Dr. Hanks, but was there a point where maybe the instances of prostate cancer were, it just feels like there was all of a sudden there was so much awareness about prostate cancer, and then there were all of these surgeries happening, and it seemed like it's kind of backed away from everybody's got to get screened for this and everyone has to have surgery, and that seems to have changed.
Exactly. And that's, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head in terms of the reason why it's not universal screening is because of the harm. So many people think, oh, I just want to, you know, check my hormones, check my PSA, check my this, check my that. But you can have falsely elevated labs, or you could have a PSA that's elevated due to like benign hypertrophy of the prostate, or prostatitis, things that are, again, benign diseases, but could then send you down the road of getting all these invasive procedures that you may not have needed. So that's why we, as healthcare providers, it's very important for us to know what is recommended and what isn't. And I also, obviously, most of my patients don't have a prostate. I do have some trans female patients that have prostates, and we talk about kind of screening for them. But really, it's making sure that patients understand that, you know, if this is, you know, what are we going to do if it's elevated, and what are the potential of a false positive in their situation.
If you're just joining us, Dr. Laura Hanks is here, as she is always on Wednesdays, for public cervix announcement. But today we're talking about prostate cancer. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. I see from the notes that Calvin left that you are a prostate cancer survivor.
Yes, quite frankly, it almost took me out. I had a Gleason score of 7, which in the books is right about out there. I was outside the gland, fully involved, all of this stuff that the doctor would know about. I would suggest to folks to rely as best you can with the consult of your urologist on a PSA draw. The day of my surgery, again, I had full-blown cancer, was close to the spinal cord, and I had a normal digital exam. He said, your prostate feels fine to me. So the blood test right now, until proper genetic testing and such can do more to diagnose or predict, I think, like BRCA1 and 2, it's not going to guarantee you have it, but you got a risk. My son has already stood up. He knows he's going to turn 40. You get a PSA draw and get a baseline. The other thing that I would encourage folks is now it's much better than when I had all this done, radical and tomotherapy back about almost 20 years ago. There's a lot more that's come along and really investigate things. If you do end up having to have radiation, whether it's tomo or a pinpoint, by all means consult with your radiologist, because afterwards the scar tissue is very possibly going to hemorrhage for you. I know this because this has been happening to me off and on for the last 20 years. Have a great day, folks.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Rob, and we hope you're okay. There was a lot there, but I think Rob made a good point in that treatments have advanced since he was diagnosed 20 years ago. Medicine continues to change. It is an ever-evolving field.
Yep, exactly. And there's so much research going on. My dad was part of like many different trials regarding, you know, different radiation therapies and whatnot. So it's still evolving. And so staying on top of it, I think that's a great point. You know, and he also brought up the digital rectal exam. That's also kind of falling to the wayside as well, just because, as he mentioned, it wouldn't have caught it.
It misses it.
So, and it's obviously uncomfortable, you know, like it's not, you know, so we don't really, that's not, you know, generally done as much anymore, where the PSA, as he mentioned, can be helpful. And for, you know, his son, obviously with having that family history, going to be important for him to talk to his doctor about that and having that level drawn when he's older. Currently the guidelines we use, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force puts out guidelines, and they recommend screening that start till 55 to 69 years old. They recommend against it in the general population, but it is individualized, and to have that discussion with your doctor if you are at risk for it.
See, that's for me. I will turn 47 in about a month and a half, and I get people saying, you know, you're past 40, you got to get it done. Then people say 45, and then people say 50. And it's very confusing because I went to the doctor. He, not the best doctor in the world, my first and last time there, he was not good. He literally just went, we'll do it another time. And I'm like,
I'm here.
I'm right here. I mean, and you don't have to do it right in this moment. I mean, I get that, but like a little bedside manner, a little advice, he just didn't seem to care. And so when you have all these non-doctors saying you got to do it at this point, and then you have a doctor who goes, meh, then it's just really confusing. And while prostate cancer isn't in my family, I have cancer in my family, and I want to be prepared for as much as I possibly can.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I brought up with my dad as well. Like prostate, obviously I don't have a prostate, but it is linked to certain genetic things such as BRCA, which is one of the genetic things that can predispose you to breast and ovarian cancer. So I, you know, told, I was like, I need to see your genetic results. you know, we've got a strong with his brother, and my grandmother had breast cancer. And so, you know, luckily that all the genetics are negative. But what's also important that a lot of people don't realize is that his genetic results are important for me. So I don't necessarily need to get genetics run. Again, this is all discussion with your doctor and a geneticist and whatnot. But because his and my uncle's were negative, the likelihood that mine will be negative is high. That being said, there's new syndromes being discovered every day. Sure, and so like having that ongoing discussion. And to your point, Greg, just to circle back to what you were saying with your doctor, all these guidelines are available at your fingertips. So your doctor should be, and I do this often with patients if I'm like not quite sure what the current, because for the cervical like pap smear guidelines just changed again. They change every 5 minutes. So I pull it up right in front of people and I'm like, okay, this is what we do now. And it's all right there. And so, you know, these guidelines are changing because of new research, and that's the point. But being able to pull it up and go through it with patients, I think, is really important.
Well, and I think another thing, and we talked about this with Dr. Lyerly before you started taking over the segment, Dr. Hanks, just about, and maybe it was just my experience, but for a long time, I felt like I can't break up with my doctor. But you can, if you have an experience and you don't, it's like meeting with a therapist for the first time. If you don't hit it off and you don't feel like this is going to be productive, then find another doctor, find another health, find another therapist.
Please.
Don't feel obligated because you had one appointment that now you can't break up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea. And I tell patients that all the time. I'm like, if you don't feel like you're getting what you need, or this isn't, you know, working, I will not be offended. And I will actually give you recommendations for other doctors.
Yeah.
You need to be able to trust your doctor. You need to be able to feel like you're taking part in that shared decision-making. It's super important.
And it's a very individualistic thing. For a while there, my husband and I were both seeing the same doctor and I loved her and she drove him crazy. So it's like, oh, good. Then go find someone that does not make you crazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dr. Laura Hanks joins us on Wednesdays for public service announcement. If you ever have a question, you can email it in to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. 6 days to go. Dr. Hanks, how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I sent in my absentee ballot. I may or may not have gotten some VIP tickets for somebody's rally tonight.
Oh, oh, nice.
I was like, for who? Is she on the Eras tour right now? I don't know.
Well, there is rumors that one Taylor Swift, she's on a break right now, and Beyonce was at the last one, and all her friends are going to be here.
That would really be something.
I'll die. I won't be here next week because I'll be dead.
No, we need you back here, Dr. Laura Hanks, from Public Cervix Announcement. Thank you so much, Laura. We will see you next week.
Sounds good. Bye, guys. Have a good rest of your week.
Stay with us. This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Coming up next, Payless Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast, countrywide, statewide, global, if you're on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Stream. My daughter-in-law kills me for the money. She thinks I left them in the will. The family gathers around and reads it, and then someone screams out, she's laughing up at us from hell. It's me. I am the problem. It's me. It's me. I am the problem. It's me. Everybody agrees, everybody agrees. It's me, hi.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. My name is Jane. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, after the 12 o'clock news, Todd Alba out on the road at the Norske Nook in Osseo.
Oh, boy. Get up high.
Go get up high. Go say hello. He's there with Trygve Olsen and Reed Galen, and they're doing a tour across the state. What makes Wisconsin great? So make sure you check that out right after the 12 o'clock news. And join us tomorrow, because we have Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is going to be here.
Yes.
Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, will be here.
Yep.
Well, with 5 days to go tomorrow, 5 days to go to the election. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports balls. And then where we are right now, it's 11:52. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing. From Indiana, 51-year-old Larry Savage Jr., who was a candidate in the Republican 5th District primary earlier this year. He didn't get elected. He was arrested earlier this week by authorities in Madison County, Indiana, and charged with destroying, misplacing a ballot, and theft.
Boy.
Seems like someone was trying to mess with the election.
Yeah.
So here's what happens.
And he's a Democrat, right?
Of course, no, he's a cheater. He was a Republican. Running for a Republican in office. Mm. Yeah, according to this, they held testing voting machine display that was open to the public.
Yeah.
So people who have questions about election integrity could come and see the process.
Yeah.
And be part of the process. They were allowed to run test ballots through the machines that were assigned to their county. So Mr. Savage Jr. was one of the ones who showed up. Tragically for him, it was being live streamed and recorded. So he was caught on video showing Savage handling two ballots. He can also be here confirming with an election official these are absolutely, totally real ballots. Then he looks around the room, folds them up, and puts them in his bucket.
Why would he do such a thing?
Then just after that, he leans over and says to a woman, oh, this count's all screwed up. The count's going to be screwed up. Trying to, again, encourage people to believe that there's shenanigans going on when there aren't.
There is shenanigans going on. He's
shenaniganing.
He's shenaniganing.
Yes. Larry is doing that. So, yes, Larry was also caught on camera outside of this building. Buddy of his patting him on the back, and they're having a good laugh, and they jump in their cars and drive away. So the police show up at Larry Savage's home. He did admit taking the ballots before officers even finished reading the warrant. Quote, you talking about the ballot the lady told me I could take. I got the paper you're talking about. I just rolled it up and put it in my pocket. I wasn't trying to steal from nobody. This is all political BS.
Ah, yes.
When he was told security video did not show Savage ever asking permission to take the ballots, he admitted he didn't. He told officers he thought he could take the ballots because they were marked sample. Quote, if you go to Payless or go wherever, it says sample, and you usually can take a sample. So that's the way I took it. I thought they were fake effing ballots. Payless gives samples of shoes?
So that was the thing, is like we're walking down this walkway of information. It's very weird. It's very dark and dusty, and we don't understand what's going on because this guy is not there. And he's stealing, and he's causing voter fraud. But you know what? We're Democrats. We're cheaters, I guess, according to Ron Johnson. Point is, all of a sudden he says, samples like Payless. And that's when you see a new hallway. You're like, wait a second. What's down here? Because this is some new insanity I've never heard about.
If you have a Payless shoe store in your neighborhood that gives out free samples, I want to know how this works.
You get one.
You get one left.
Yep. You know how it's like BOGO, buy one, get one?
So you get one left shoe and then a different right shoe?
It's the opposite with that. So instead of buy one, get one, it's you get the right one for free and you pay twice as much for the one left one. That way it evens itself out.
He has told a local news reporter he does not mean to hurt anyone.
Mm.
I'm just trying to fight for our country.
Join the military then.
At no time did I actually think this was a real ballot. I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I didn't do anything with malintent. I love the people that serve. I'm an elected official. I would never do anything to hurt anybody. The truth is going to come out. I'm an innocent man. They saw you on camera.
Yeah, and you
take
boasted.
The ballots.
You boasted.
Well, if you ever hear of a shoe store, doesn't have to be Payless. Any shoe store that's giving away free samples, please tell me. I would like to know. Thank you, Greg and Calvin. And all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today. You get the chance to share it. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.